Today I'm going to take a little time. I'm visiting with Chad Bain, State Representative. Chad, thanks for visiting with us and talking to us. Are we done? Is the session on my calendar? It says it's supposed to be done.
That's a great question. I wish I had the ability to predict that, but I know we're getting into kind of some of the more serious stuff, and so whether that's the more exciting part of what we do down there or not, that's what's coming, and it gets drawn out to make sure kind of things are right here on the end. So it could be good, could be bad, depending on how we end up.
I tell you, it's been one of those things where, you know, over the years I watch, and yeah, maybe once I thought everybody got done on time. I'm not sure. Or it was that weekend or something like that. So pretty much on standby as we head into next week. Or what do you – I mean, you got to be ready to answer the bell?
Yeah, I think next week I think we'll actually get into it. I think the PBM bill, pharmacy bill, they want to get some amendments attached to that and make sure that comes out right. They've been working on that for, 6 years?
Yeah, something like that. It's been a while. Yeah,
and so it's starting to wear itself thin, and everyone kind of knows something needs to be done. And so I think they want to get that right. The Senate put an amendment on it that we're going to have to react to and probably end up with an amendment ourselves. And so just that back and forth to make sure that thing's right, I think that's what kind of slowed everything down. I'm sure there's other negotiations going on with the budget, but I think that was a big one. And I was kind of happy to see that because there was a pretty stiff reaction to the Senate amendment and the cost where it was going to be passed on to, and just the fear of what that could be for the pharmacies and what could be for the people buying scripts and then the insurance company. We just got to make sure we get that right.
Well, it's one of those, for those that aren't aware, the big thing is there's a middleman handling between the big pharma companies and then our rural pharmacies. There's a middleman in there that's taking a cut that's making it sometimes a little harder for rural pharmacies to compete with the big chains.
Yeah, and that you hit the nail on the head there. That, it's just a matter of making sure that those are viable, because if they get the rural ones are the ones that are being impacted, and they have to sometimes cover some things, you know, just like a hospital has to cover some things that are going to be losses, and then you take those and you figure out how much of those, how hard that hits you, whether that becomes feasible from a business model standpoint. Yeah. They put in some things that I think by and large everyone wants, and then just trying to figure out, because of the size discrepancy in between the rural pharmacies and the big pharmacies, and then again how the insurance person is going to come out on it. Those are all sticky situations, and we want to make sure that small pharmacies survive. So we're trying to balance that out. And you're exactly right. We've got to figure that out.
One of your other challenges with that is having pharmacists that are going to be there. You know, because I have a niece that's a pharmacist, and she started out in a small one, ended up going to a larger group because obviously more better pay, benefits. You know, and than working in a small town type pharmacy. You got people that are retiring and moving away, and it's hard to maintain that without getting a pharmacist there.
That comes back to that business model and creating jobs. If you're going to create jobs, you've got to create one that's attractive to your area. And if small town, I don't think it's a matter of living in small towns or not. I believe that's probably driven through pay. Yeah. And so with those PBMs, the pharmacy benefit managers being the middleman, they get, it's not that they get a good or a bad rap, but they've got to try and come out and equalize and make deals. And so they were sold as a plus, and I think they are in most cases, but that's just such an area that becomes touchy because of the rise of costs. You're talking double digit stuff that happens through health insurance. Less coverage. It just becomes really, really touchy, but trying to retain jobs in small town Iowa that aren't being stolen away from bigger pharmacies is a challenge, and that's where, in something like this, we want to make sure that the rural pharmacies have a fair shake up against some of the bigger ones.
Well, we do have a lot of what other things came up this week that you guys were kind of wrapping up? Because I know there was a lot of things that we were trying to push out to get stuff taken care of, And most of the focus then turning to the budget. There's a little bit of difference in the total dollars. We can touch on that a little later. But were there any other bills that you were glad to see make it through and at least get some agreement worked out?
Well, yeah, that's the vacuum or what we made reference to in the pharmacy benefit took a lot of air out, because ultimately we ended up caucusing on that. And that bill hasn't even been brought up. Mm-hmm. And so to try and get that, then the Senate took that on, which kind of jump-started the discussion. But we had caucused on it and not passed it out of caucus or got it ready for the floor. And so to try and get that stuff all ready to go and make sure that now we react to what they did, it's kind of a big deal. So we sent that over, we got it going. And now we have to deal with whatever they've got going and react to it. But as far as that, kind of is what shut us down. So the budget process and the discrepancy in the budget is a huge one. I think for two reasons, the discrepancy in money was not as big. I mean, it's big. It's a lot of dollars.
But well, it's 30. Yeah, it's about $36 million, but it's a $9 billion budget. So. It's right. Kind of so small in there, but it is still a big chunk, yes.
Yes, and then it became important areas for us, more so than what I think we were prepared to do. And so that kind of set off the fireworks, is because of the areas, nursing homes and parapay, which were kind of promises that the House had made. And so for those categorically, not necessarily be picked on, but the ones that were going to get cut out, that all of a sudden made us pump the brakes in a different way, even though those numbers weren't a long ways off.
Okay. Yeah. Well, and you do get down to a lot of the, like you said, these are commitments the House had made to different groups, organizations, or, you know, in part of going through the session, you know, this is an issue that we feel needs to be taken, and the caucus has pretty much got their position on it. So, we'll see how we work this out, huh? This gets
well,
me.
Well, that's where it's not that it gets fun, because they're so serious, but you find out in a hurry where the people are, your buddies are as far as their political positions, who does what, and this is the time where that jockeying at the end becomes serious. But you kind of find out what's going on and which group is being more fiscally conservative, which one's not, and kind of how to approach problems and the way that they do it. Leadership is just run so differently between the House and Senate. And sometimes Jesse and I will get in there and we'll be able to wrestle around about that. But they're run slightly different. And that's by design.
Yeah.
You don't want, they didn't want one entity running that whole thing. And so it'll be interesting, and where the governor resides, she's going to have a bigger impact than normal, in my opinion, because her budget was off a little bit too. And then that, I believe hers and the Senate's got together, and we're the odd man out. So we're going to be in the same spot as SSA type stuff, where it was kind of 2-on-1. But nevertheless, that's the design of it, and there are important pieces to that, and we'll have to work through that.
Get together with Carter Nordholm every once in a while and talk to him about how's it going. What are you committees he's on and you on? And you do, both of you are on some of the same committees or have been on some of the same ones as well.
Yeah, he took on that recorder bill, and I know we touched on that last week, but he took that on. That was a big one for him, and to kind of break up almost a monopoly, in my opinion. And so he there was a lot of pressure there. He did a great job. He kind of teases a little bit in the caucus, like, I don't know how I ended up with these. So I think he enjoys it. And that's just another thing about learning your role and what you bring to the table. But he's run some pretty big bills this year, and that recorder bill was a big one. And he worked hard on that. And you spend a lot of time, you know, out of session, or at least out of the State House, out of session, really trying to get that pinned down. So he's done a good job.
Okay, got to ask about property tax. It's kind of sitting on the back burner. Are we looking at more next session? Where are we at?
I don't think here's what I, well, do you want what I want? You want the way I think really end up.
Yeah. Well, how do you think what's going to happen? Are we going to have anything come out this year, do you think? Or is it going to kind of be put on hold until next year?
I don't think we're going to have anything that's going to come up, but I believe there's going to be a really hard push. So those are kind of two opposite ends of the spectrum. But I don't – property taxes and the way to look at them are just – it's almost impossible to take it out of that local control. And that was my stance as a supervisor. And we've touched on that before, but my biggest hesitation on it is when you get rid of the rollbacks, you're – commercial is more heavily taxed through that rollback system. They don't get rolled back as far as residential. And if residential is that calling that brings us into the property tax discussion, which I believe through door knocking, that's what you're getting. You're getting fixed incomes and other inflationary measures, and here comes the property tax bill, and it just seems to be automatically going up, and people are blowing back against that quite a bit. If you get rid of the rollbacks, And commercial, you're going to have to figure out a clever way to make sure that balance stays the same. And I don't really know that I've come up with a good way to do that. And so I get frustrated in politics when somebody comes to me with a problem and says, I don't like that. And kind of, well, give me the rationale behind what you want to do to fix it. Mm-hmm. Well, so here I am in this particular case. I like getting rid of the rollbacks, but I don't know how to fix it in such a way that everyone is to be made whole.
Sure. And
so I don't really know what to do. And so when I see that, I speak out upon that, and I feel bad because you want to talk about logging time. Bobby, who's on the House side, and Dawson, Bobby Kaufman on the House side, and Dawson, who's on the Senate side, they're meeting 2, 3, 4 times a day, outside of their normal duties to try and get this thing pinned down. And then I stand up and say, this is not a good idea. I can't imagine that they're necessarily too happy with me when I say that. But if you buy down that 540 and you offer up some real property tax relief, and then you limit locals' ability to spend, and then you get rid of the rollbacks and change the ratio in between residential responsibility and commercial responsibility, boy, you better know what you're doing. And so that's been my hesitation, and that's what I've spoke up on. Whether that comes to fruition or not, or whether we can pump the brakes, me personally, I would like to see transparency. I would like to see, you know, a five-year, and I don't know how to get there. That's something I'm going to start researching and really put into, so hopefully I can kind of discuss that along the way. But I'd like to see the history of each levy, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 levies on one property in Boone. I'd like to see those all give a five-year history year over year of where they were 5 years ago to where they are now, and kind of just graphically see, you know, who's raising property taxes. And then you can go to that entity and figure out why they're raising property taxes and have discussion. They might have legitimate reasons to do it, and you might agree with them, and so you're not worried about that levy. Or you might come to a levy where you're like, hey, you didn't need to do that. And so I just don't know how to get or connect those two things. And that's what I'm hoping, that we can get at least some transparency bill out of the House this year.
Yeah. And you didn't even mention, you know, like the impact, because ag land, and how is that going to be coupled with it? And I mean, those are, it is a very complex, I mean, there isn't an easy answer. Let's just put it that way. It's not an easy way to resolve it. It's going to take a lot of work.
Yeah, and you're kind of going against the basic fundamentals of this country, because it was set up that way. They wanted local issues. They wanted the voters to be more in touch with the local issues. You know your local officials more than the state and the federal guys. And so the layering inside of that, and those guys taking on, again, we can't take on thousands of levies and understand their budgets. That's why the city council meets, and that's why they look over and they understand their budget. And so just, there's just so much there that they spread that out in a property tax situation. The people that are really raising and lowering your property taxes are in those entities. And that's really where you need to go to figure it out. And then if we step in and do anything, it's not that being the bad guy is all that bad, so to speak, but in all reality, it's local control. And people want local control until, you know, they don't.
Well, and so, you've You've seen it at that local level, too. Again, what Boone County does, I think they say, well, you've got your supplemental levy. Well, even when you were a supervisor, you guys never used it. Because Boone County said, no, we don't need the supplemental levy. A lot of other counties have that, and they use that to fill. It's kind of an emergency levy thing. And, you know, so each one's a little different, too. So
that's correct.
Not an easy answer.
No, it's not. And then in a property tax bill, if you come over and start something over, in short, you're going to punish the people that have been more responsible. So if you've run your budgets down tight and you've got your levy cut down to you're just paycheck to paycheck, so to speak, versus the people that have raised their levies, built some sponges, now we come in and limit you to 2%. It's going to benefit the people that have been sponging and over, you know, overtaxing through property taxes. They're the ones that'll be rewarded. It'll teach you to build up a little more savings and raise property taxes. Well, that's the last thing we want. So you've got to be careful. Again, everyone's different. You got 99 counties and you've got tons of cities and whatever those numbers end up to be. They're so incredible that you just can't keep track of it. And you're going to rip some off and you're going to make some better. So
well,
I don't know how to do that from a statewide
it's situation. Like I've always said, somebody made that thing a long time ago, and it's I know we've seen that. I've seen this over the many years I've covered the legislature and what's going on. It's come up more than once, and again, it's not an easy task. It's not an easy thing to handle. Were there some other things that, as we get towards the end of the session, that right here at the end that you guys had that you did on the House side that you were pretty happy with that you wanted to see outside of like the pharmacy bill and things like that?
Yeah, that was one of the things that really hit, and I was surprised it ended up being as split. I didn't think it would be split, was being able to hire out outside counsel, outside your county attorney. And so when I was supervisor, let's call it 90-10, I wouldn't be able to put a true figure on it. Yeah. 90% of the county attorney's duties were prosecution, and then 10%. They would represent the board, and there was not a ton of legal stuff, but there was some legal stuff enough that you had to. It was something that took time away from prosecution, and so there was a balance there. And being able to hire out outside counsel, outside of your county attorney, it was surprising that that people were kind of against that. I was for that. I saw as a county supervisor there would be a time and a place where getting outside counsel. And even sometimes our county attorney would suggest that because it was not his area of expertise. And so Matt works well with the board, and so I don't think that'll be an issue in Boone. This was more for people outside that were having sometimes conflicts of interest in between their county attorney and their supervisors, and then also to make sure that the right person represented you. Given the situation. Sure. So I was pretty happy with that, but I was kind of surprised at how much that took. The rest of them were what I would say were non-controversial. You got the ATV. You can't double up on ATV fees. The state has theirs, and the county couldn't set an additional fee. Sure. So there was other stuff like that were, you know, college kids pregnant. If you're in college, you get pregnant, you have the ability to take time off, stuff like that. That's important. That's a big deal to that people. I consider it pro family. You want to make that available, an available option to still go to school. So just kind of stuff like that that we touched on, knowing that we wanted to get through these so that the big stuff at the end, we could allot the right amount of time.
You can focus on those too. Well, it sounds like I'm guessing you're going to be back there next week. We'll continue to keep in touch and see how things go and see if you can get it wrapped up. Well, if leadership can get it wrapped up in a reasonable amount of time, okay?
Sounds good. I really appreciate the time. And if anyone's got any questions, don't be afraid to reach out, Facebook or cell phone, whatever it is. I know that local feedback is important. And so I'm willing to listen and take time and figure stuff out. So I appreciate you having me, and we'll look forward to the next one.
Are you losing your help this week then?
Yeah. Oh, that'll be a big one.
Oh.
We actually got a picture together today, and And I said, boy, I don't know, I still might have to text you and figure some stuff out. And she was sweet enough to say yes, she could. So
she'll do it.
I was, it was kind of sad to see her go. And maybe that'll motivate us to get out of there and finish our work.
All righty. Thanks for visiting with us this week.
Sounds good. Thank you very much.